We come in peace. On the 25th of August 2012, the first of our ships reached interstellar space. It was unmanned. Launched 3.5 decades earlier, it had skirted Jupiter and Saturn and was now heading out of the solar system towards Camelopardalis, a little-known constellation close to the Plough. Although clear of the solar wind, it wasn't quite out of reach of the sun's gravity, nor would it be for a further 30 millennia. By then it would have traversed what's known as the Oort cloud, a thick outer shell of icy rubble that encases our home star and its 8 planets like the flesh around a peach stone. At that point, it would be nearly a light year out. Forget the galaxy. Even the solar system is unimaginably large. The ship's name was Voyager 1, and on board was a message from the people of Earth, encoded on what became known as the Golden Record. This gold-plated phonographic disc, curated by the distinguished American cosmologist Carl Sagan, spoke on behalf of all humanity. It began with a recorded message from the Secretary-General of the United Nations, Kurt Waldheim. Reading haltingly with a strong Austrian accent, he made the following statement.
I send greetings on behalf of the people of our planet. We step out of our solar system into the universe seeking only peace and friendship. To teach if we are called upon, to be taught if we are fortunate. We know full well that our planet and all its inhabitants are but a small part of this immense universe that surrounds us, and it is with humility and hope that we take this step.
After this greeting came a choir of voices speaking in 55 languages, everything from Akkadian, the language of ancient Sumer, to Wu, the contemporary Chinese dialect spoken around Shanghai. Some, such as the Japanese, appeared shy. Hello, how are you? Others were more forthcoming, such as the Amoy of southeastern China, who offered,
Friends of space, how are you all? Have you eaten yet? Come visit us if you have time.
The speaker of ancient Greek, on the other hand, issued a barely concealed threat. Greetings to you all, whoever you are. We come in friendship to those who are friends. These greetings of Earth were accompanied by 20-odd sounds of Earth, among them echoing footsteps, hard rain, and a handsaw cutting fresh wood. Over 100 scenes of Earth showed images such as a hand being X-rayed, the chemical structure of DNA, and a man and pregnant woman in silhouette. And finally, there was the music of Earth, with over 20 of humanity's finest recordings, including the first movement of Beethoven's 5th, Bach's Well-Tempered Clavier, and Johnny B. Goode, performed by Chuck Berry. Earth left you a message. Now, that might have the flavour of science fiction. I mean, at least I hope it does, as I was trying my hardest. But it's all true. So far as we know, the Golden Record has not yet been intercepted by space-faring aliens. If it is, what they're to make of it is anyone's guess. For a start, we have to hope they aren't too big. An alien the size of a blue whale might have a hard time getting a needle in the groove, let alone building a hi-fi system for it to play on at the required speed of 16 2/3 revolutions per minute. Equally, too small an alien, one the size of a microbe, say, might never realise the Golden Record, or Voyager 1 itself, was even there in the first place. Next, of course, we have to hope they share our perception of time. As we shall see in a later chapter, not all animals on Earth do, let alone all aliens. To crows, for example, whose brains have a faster clock, human communication appears slow and deliberate. If alien time passes much faster than human time, the aliens might not realise that human speech contains information. It might simply sound like long, unintelligible groans. To understand human speech, it helps to have a brain that chugs along at human speed. And while we're on the subject of human speech, we'd better hope that any aliens that find the Golden Record have ears, and that the frequency range of those ears matches that of our own, and that they themselves communicate using vocalizations. On a deeper level, we'd better hope that the concepts expressed in our messages, things like peace and space and time, have equivalents within their own language or languages. And on an even deeper level, we hope they share the concept of a message within their culture and don't just fire it straight back again. It doesn't end there. To be able to see the instructions on the case of the Golden Record, detailing how the information inside is to be decoded, the aliens had better be able to see, and their vision had better be attuned to the same range of the electromagnetic spectrum as our own eyes. Again, we can see from life forms on Earth that this isn't a given. A range of superintelligent bats, for example, might see the golden record as nothing more than a metallic frisbee. A community of superintelligent bacteria might just see it as a snack. And most importantly of all, we'd better hope that the aliens have a good understanding of human culture. If they don't, they're going to have a hard time figuring out what we were up to. When storage capacity must have been so precious, why include so many greetings? Why are genitals shown in some drawings of humans, but not in others? What's the music for? Who are these people? And what the hell are they trying to tell us? In short, we'd better hope the aliens are just like us.